the Bible, all my steps enlighten. Teach me the danger of the ground below. That lamp of safety o'er the gloom shall brighten. That light alone the path of peace can show.
The Madisonville Church of Christ, located at 1035 North Main Street, Madisonville, Kentucky, invites you to join them for another edition of What Does the Bible Say? A program of biblical questions and answers presented each week at this time. And now, your host and preacher for the Madisonville Church of Christ, Russell Klein.
Hello there. My name is Russell Klein, and this is What Does the Bible Say? A program of biblical questions and answers brought to you each week at this time by the good folks at the Madisonville Church of Christ. Welcome to our broadcast. We're happy that you have tuned in to be with us today, and we hope that you'll enjoy the time that we spend together as we seek answers to your questions about God's holy word. Now, the question that I want to deal with today is one concerning the interpretation of a passage of Scripture in the Old Testament. Essentially, the question is this: what does Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 mean? Proverbs 3, verse 5 is a text that I used recently in a funeral for a very good friend of mine who passed away in the coronavirus epidemic. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." Now, I spoke on this verse at the funeral, and there were some who asked some questions about it after the funeral, and it got me to thinking that this might be a good subject for me to address here on the radio program. So, while no one has asked me this question in so many words, it is one that I would like to answer, and I would like to do so in this context. The passage, again, says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart." The Bible talks about a Christian's commitment to the Lord in absolute terms, terms that are high and lofty, terms that are very, very noble. And it's important for us to understand that as we seek an approach for the understanding of this particular expression. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. It kind of reminds me of what Jesus said in response to a question in Matthew 22 about which of all the commandments in the law is the greatest. He said that the greatest commandment of them all is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. The idea of loving God with all of one's heart is literally a reference to the idea of loving God emotionally. And when you look at the reference there, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, Christians must love God emotionally. Christians must love God spiritually, and Christians must love God intellectually. And the idea behind all of those expressions together is that a Christian must love God completely. There is no sense in which a Christian should come short in his love for God. Our love for God should be the greatest it can be. It should be in its most absolute, purest, and highest form. Well, here we are told to trust in the Lord with all our hearts. And I think that in similar fashion, the writer of Proverbs here is telling us, as much as we love God, we should also trust in God. Indeed, that's part of what it means to love God and to have faith in God. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, we are told that without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It's not enough for one simply to believe that God exists. One must also believe, and that means that one must be absolutely sure that God exists and that God will do what he says he will do. God has promised to reward the righteous and to punish the wicked. We must believe that God is, and that God is a rewarder of all those who diligently seek him. And that implies a significant amount of trust. I have to trust God if I am going to obey him, if I am going to do what he commands me to do. And so I am told to trust in the Lord with all of my heart. But then it says, and lean not on your own understanding. I think that modern human beings tend to do exactly what this passage tells us not to do. We try to lean upon our own understanding of things. We human beings think that we've pretty much got everything figured out. We human beings feel like we know an awful lot. I've heard some scientists, some in the physics community, some in other scientific disciplines, making statements like, well, we're not very far away from knowing everything that there is to know and from figuring out pretty much everything that needs to be figured out. It kind of reminds me of a statement that was made by a former head of the Royal Academy of Science in Britain back in the 1800s, who declared that everything worth discovering has already been discovered. Everything worth knowing is already known. Everything worth inventing has already been invented. That statement's pretty silly, looking back on it and considering when it was made, and then also considering how many more discoveries there have been since then, how much more knowledge has been gained since then, and how many more things have been invented since the 19th century. When it comes to our intelligence and our capacity for figuring things out, the Bible warns us not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. Oh yes, we're very smart. We have a lot of wisdom. We've gained a lot of knowledge. We can do a lot of amazing things through the discoveries that we've made and through the technology that we human beings have advanced. But we should not begin to think that we know everything, that we've figured it all out, and that there's nothing that is yet beyond our grasp. Now, the truth is, we don't know the answers to a lot of scientific questions, and there are questions that we have not yet even figured out how to ask yet. Because many times, when we make a new discovery, well, that often leads to more questions. When we figure one thing out, that often presents us with another problem that we have to figure out. The idea is that human beings like to think that they've got a pretty good handle on things, that they know what they need to know, and you know, everything else is really not that big a deal. But the Lord warns us, don't lean on your own understanding of things. Trust in the Lord. People might say, oh, that was sound advice for folks in ancient times who didn't understand even the fundamental principles of science that we all learn when we're in elementary school today. Well, and that may well be the case. Ancient man was not nearly as dumb as we often imagine him to be. But it's true that, yeah, modern human beings, we know a lot more. We've figured out a lot more than those who came before us. But that doesn't mean that we have all the answers. That doesn't mean that we no longer need God. We still need to trust in the Lord. and put our hope in him. And that's something that I think modern man very often fails to do. We like to think that we can stand up on our own two feet, make our own decisions, and do everything on our own. And the truth of the matter is that we still need the Lord. We still need God. And we're never going to get to a point where we don't need God anymore. Now, it also says in verse 6, and I notice verse 6 because it is the continuation of a sentence that was begun in verse 5. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Sometimes we try to compartmentalize our lives, and we think, well, this one part of my life over here is spiritual. This other part of my life over here, though, is something else, and spirituality doesn't relate to it. Again, we often have the hubris of thinking that, well, my faith is one thing, but my intellect is something else. My endeavors that I undertake in this world, that's something else altogether. The truth of the matter is that it's all connected. And if we as Christians are willing to understand that and recognize that, well, that's a giant step toward having not only a better life in the afterlife, but having a better life here and now in this world. In all your ways, acknowledge him. When you're making a choice about your career, or if you're making a choice about your family, or you're making a choice about, well, almost anything, take into consideration what God's will is for you, and do what the Lord would have you to do. If you'll do that, then, well, chances are you'll always do the right thing. You'll make the right choices. If you will trust in the Lord, and in all your ways acknowledge him, then the Lord shall direct your path. Very often people expect God's direction to take on some kind of supernatural form. Oh Lord, give me a sign as to what you want me to do. Give me a sign as to what your will is. Well, the Lord gives us plenty of signs. Just look in your Bible. And there are signs aplenty. Pray to the Lord. Try to ascertain what the Lord's will is for you. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. You know, many years ago, there was this fad in religion. Everybody was wearing these little plastic bracelets that said WWJD on them. And those four letters stand for What Would Jesus Do? And the bracelets were meant to remind people that whenever you're facing a choice, whenever you're facing a crisis, whenever you're facing some crossroads in life, remember to ask yourself, well, what would Jesus do in this situation? And then do that. And again, if you'll do that, well, then you will always make the right choice. That's not a bad sentiment. I don't necessarily go in for religious fads and all their trappings, but that's really a pretty good idea. Whatever it is you're facing in life, ask yourself, what would Jesus do? And then do that. That's a big part of what is meant in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Well, that's all we have time for today. How quickly it goes by. Thank you for being with us, and please tune in again next week for another edition of What Does the Bible Say? In the meantime, please continue to read your Bible, study the Word of God, and let us know what questions you have, and we'll seek the answer to those questions together here on What Does the Bible Say? May God bless you as you study His Holy Word.
Questions and comments to be answered on What Does the Bible Say? Should be sent to What Does the Bible Say? In care of the Madisonville Church of Christ, 1035 North Main Street, Madisonville, Kentucky, 42431. Or you may call the church directly at 821-3544. You are invited to attend the services of the Madisonville Church of Christ, Sunday morning Bible study at 9:30 a.m. with worship following at 10:30, Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7. We hope that this morning's program has been informative and uplifting to you. Tune in next week for more questions and answers on What Does the Bible Say?